This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
It's time for WSMI Sports Saturday, brought to you by Prairie Farms Dairy in Carlinville. Taste the homemade goodness of Prairie Farms. By Bruce Webb Insurance in Farmersville and Raymond. Security National Bank with locations in Witt, Coffeen, Irving, and Fillmore. By Midwest Basement Technologies. Call 618-372-7077. And by Huff Funeral Homes in Raymond, Farmersville, and Hillsboro. Terry Tope, Uncle Ralph.
No Gomez girls.
Slightly
got a lucky
different
draw,
weather
yes.
than we had a week ago
we're on Granny Mac. We're on, Ralph.
Are we?
Yes.
What?
Stick those headphones on there, buddy.
Yeah.
Stick those headphones on. Yeah, there we go. Good morning, Tim Mize.
Good morning.
Yes, we were at Granny Mac last week, and it was, what, 50 degrees?
Yeah, and sunny.
And sunny. Mm-hmm. And that's good for the people that were hunting.
Oh, yeah. Great weekend.
Great weekend.
That's right.
But today.
Not so much. What a difference a week can make.
We must be in Illinois.
Yeah, 24 hours, you know. If you don't like the weather, wait 24 hours.
That's right.
That's pretty much the story in this neck of the woods. And I've never been able to figure it out, and I never will. So.
And tomorrow, back up in the mid-40s.
And then maybe again 50, right? First week?
Yeah, by Monday.
Mm-hmm. And then back into the 30s again.
So. Then back down the other side of the hill.
It's the old roller coaster ride this for the month of January. Well, here we are on Saturday, the 14th day of January, and once you get to the middle part of the month of January, you have all sorts of basketball tournaments, in-season tournaments underway, and of course that's the case today with the annual Macoupin County basketball tournament getting underway at Mount Olive High School at noon today. The Litchfield Invitational Tournament getting underway at Simmons Gymnasium today. The girls' tournament at Highland getting underway today. Tournaments that are wrapping up include the Morrisonville Boys Tournament today, the North Green Girls Tournament, the Sangamon County Boys Tournament. So January, in spite of the fact that there's a lot of Christmas tournaments, January is a lot of in-season tournaments and a good month for high school basketball, it seems like. So.
And then after these tournaments is over on the girls' side, Terry, next thing we'll be talking about for girls will be regionals.
Yeah, the seedings for the girls' regionals, I believe, are this Wednesday. So they'll get together, do their seeding meetings, and of course they do that all electronically now, Ralph. It used to be they'd gather and the coaches would talk, and now it's all done with email. But we'll know probably by the end of this week, probably by next Saturday, we will know what the regional pairings are for our area teams, and the girls' regionals will begin the week of February the 6th. So it's just around the corner. It really is about 3 weeks away.
Yeah, but the girls still have a lot of basketball, and especially in the South Central, a lot of important games kicking off Tuesday night with Litchfield traveling to Pena, and then Litchfield has to play Hillsborough again, and Pena has to play Hillsborough again. And those seem to be the three at the top of the heap. So there'll be a lot of interesting basketball taking place in the next 3 weeks.
Well, once you get to the middle part of January and you get beyond the tournaments for the girls, of course, you have basically 2 weeks of the regular season left. And there always seems to be a lot of conference games packed into those last 2 weeks. So
yeah,
it's really a fun time of year. And speaking of the tournaments, let's kind of review what we've got coming up. Tournaments that are wrapping up today, just to get us up to speed, at Morrisonville, the boys tournament. This has been a round robin tournament all week long. South Fork out of Kincaid and Nokomis will play in the championship. It'll be a true championship tonight as both teams are 3-0. They'll play at 7:30. Before that, Morrisonville plays Lincolnwood. Morrisonville 1-2 in pool play and Lincolnwood 0-3. So that tournament wraps up today. The Winchester tournament also wraps up today. This is a boys tournament where Liberty will take on Jacksonville out tonight at 7 o'clock. And in the Sangamon County tournament, Pleasant Plains will take on Williamsville. I think that's a 7 o'clock tip as well, and that'll be played at Lincolnland.
And that should be a good ball.
Oh, man. That'll be a heck of a ball. Riverton, who was undefeated up until this week, has lost twice in the Sangamon County tournament. Girls' tournaments that are wrapping up today, the North Green Tournament, as we mentioned, where Litchfield Lady Panthers are taking on a very good West Central ball club in the championship game at 3:30 this afternoon. Carrollton will play Jacksonville out for third place. That there is a heck of a matchup there. The Camp Point Central Tournament has Havana and Quincy Notre Dame playing in the girls' championship, two very top-tier teams in the state. And that's pretty much wrapping everything up as far as the girls' tournaments are concerned that are wrapping up today. Of course, we were talking about boys' tournaments, girls' tournaments, in-season tournaments. The Macoupin County Basketball Tournament is being hosted by Mount Olive High School, and our good friend Terry Marietta and Wildcats will be very good hosts this week. It is a round-robin pool play for both boys and girls this year. This is something we've kind of talked about in the last couple of 3 weeks, and certainly amongst ourselves, that now that you only have seven teams for both the boys and the girls, the schools that were in the tournament decided to go to the pool play and the round-robin pool play to set things up in the tournament. So,
of course, the girls had the pool play. Yes. Last year, and on the first day of the tournament, the North Mac Panthers upset, I guess you would call it, the perennial champion Southwestern Lady Piasaw Birds. So it's kind of funny, the first day of pool play and a game like that breaks out.
So whether you like it or not, that's how it's going to be run. And there are six games on the docket today at the Macoupin County Basketball Tournament. The first three will be girls' games. The last three will be boys' games at noon. It'll be Bunker Hill taking on Mount Olive in girls' basketball. That's Bunker Hill in number 2 seed against number 7 Mount Olive. At 1:30, another girls' game with number 3 seed Carlinville taking on number 6 Gillespie. And at 3 o'clock, top-seeded North Mac will take on 5th seeded Southwestern. In fact, North Mac has both the number 1 seeds in the girls' and the boys' tournament, which I think we were just kind of off the cuff discussing it 2 or 3 weeks ago, Ralph, and we kind of said, well, it kind of looks like North Mac probably will get the top seeds, and for both the boys and girls, even as we observed 2 or 3 weeks ago, and that was indeed the case.
Yeah, and it's been a consolidation that happened a couple of years ago, Terry, and it has tended to strengthen the program of both schools, Girard and Burden, by combining the two schools, and as we have discussed before, Verdon and Girard always had some outstanding athletes, and so you put them together and it makes it even better.
It makes them a pretty formidable foe. That's year in and year out. So the last three games at Mount Olive today will involve boys' games. At 4:30, Staunton will take on Gillespie. That'll be a matchup of number 2 seed Staunton and number 7 Gillespie. At 6 tonight, Southwestern, the number 3 seed, will take on Mount Olive, the number 6 seed. And then at 7:30, it'll be North Mac, the top seed, taking on 5th seeded Bunker Hill. The tournament will continue Monday night with two more boys' games, with Carlinville taking on Bunker Hill, Mount Olive taking on Gillespie. Tuesday night, it'll be a girls' night with three games on the docket, beginning at 5, Staunton against Southwestern, Bunker Hill against Gillespie, and Carlinville against Mount Olive. Two more boys' games Wednesday, two more boys' games Friday, three more girls' games on Thursday, and then next Saturday, we'll have all six games on the radio.
So. And I guess the nice thing about both tournaments being in pool play for the first time this year is every school knows exactly what time and what day they'll be playing all the way through this coming week. So just in terms of scheduling, practices, those types of things, you know, all right, we're playing Tuesday, X time, then we're off until whatever the day may be, and then we know we're playing on Saturday.
And certainly the way it's been set up in the pool play, they have the seeded team scheduled for a semifinal-like showdown. On Thursday night, you've got the top four teams playing, and the Friday night you've got the boys team. But that's no guarantee in pool play that you're going to actually, those would actually be true semifinals.
There's never any upsets in tournaments.
and you know.
Upsets? What are those?
What are those? Yeah. I've never heard of that.
And you know, one of the things sometimes as spectators or even as sportscasters that we all overlook when we talk about all these tournaments, guys, is the AD of these schools and the ever-going problem of gathering up enough officials to get everything done.
Well, I think the Macoupin County tournament, as is the case with many tournaments, will schedule 2 and 3 years ahead of time.
I'm sure they do.
I know Carlinville, I think Darren Deneve was telling us, he's got official schedule for 2 and 3 years ahead of time.
So. Oh, I would think you would have to.
Oh, yeah. You know, and we've talked about this for years, how the pool of officials is constantly shrinking because there are very, very few young people getting into officiating after, you know, the lives are just so busy anymore. You just don't make time for it.
And I know in talking a couple weeks ago to our good friend Big Al Polkenpole, he was telling me that his crew was officiating a basketball somewhere in the afternoon, and then they were going to Decatur that night to officiate another one.
Yeah, that's not unusual to have a crew do a game or two in one venue and head to another venue in the evening. That makes for a long day, though.
Yeah, it does.
I don't know.
But most of these guys who are officiating, they love the game.
Oh, yeah.
And, I mean, that's why they're doing it, for the love of the game.
Sure.
So for the officials who are in it right now, maybe it's a bit heavenly because they know they're going to get multiple games, maybe, you know, especially tournament time, holiday time, those types of situations.
So it turns out to be a good situation if you're a basketball fan and, in particular, official. And, you know, you put your time in and then you hope to get rewarded with some good games probably on the final days of the tournament where you have pretty equal games as far as the matchups are concerned. So, you know, it works out. It works out well. I know HUD's talked for years about doing games early in the day and with Waverly and then maybe driving to Macomb for a championship game or whatever. So it's been, you know, it's an interesting thing to try and fill all those schedules with officials. It's just something you got to have them to play.
Have whistle, will travel.
That's right.
And you have to make sure you get up early that morning if you're going to travel in a car to a couple of different places several miles apart. Make sure you take a shower before you leave home.
That's probably good.
Togetherness, you know.
Yeah, that's true.
And on that note, we'll take a break.
Yes.
We'll come back with more Sports Saturday in a moment.
Online Bill Pay is here. Now you can pay your bills online safely, efficiently, from one location, securityNB.com. Hi, this is Dan Fleming, president of Security National Bank. SecurityNB.com provides you with the convenience of receiving, viewing, and managing your bills all from one location, securityNB.com. Security National Bank in Witt, Coffeen, Irving, and Fillmore, or online at securityNB.com. Security National Bank, your hometown bank you can trust since 1932. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Is your home moving without you? You don't need a realtor. You need the foundation repair experts at Midwest Basement Technologies. Serving Central Illinois for over 30 years, correcting bowed or cracked walls, settlement problems, or wet and leaky basements and crawl spaces. If you live in Central or Southern Illinois, they service you. Call 1-800-848-9805 for your local service tech or visit them on the web at MidwestBasementTech.com. For money saving coupons, that's MidwestBasementTech.com. Remember, foundation problems won't go away. Protect your investment.
Time for a check of WSMI radar weather, brought to you at this time by Paris Frozen Foods in Hillsboro, home of the Big Porky. The radar screen is showing some light snow flurries around a majority of the WSMI listening area. We will see high temps this afternoon, hopefully work into the low 30s with light south winds. Tonight, we will see cloud cover with overnight lows in the lower 20s. Some sunshine breaks through tomorrow, high temperature readings in the low 40s. And then as we get into Sunday night and the early part of next week, we will see overnight lows basically into the 20s. Those high temps will work into the upper 40 or the low 40s, excuse me, by early next week. Right now, 22 degrees outside of our WSMI studios and a wind east at 7 miles an hour. This check of WSMI radar weather has been brought to you by Paris Frozen Foods in Hillsboro, home of the Big Porky. Sports Saturday rolls on following these messages.
Farming doesn't follow an 8-to-5 schedule. A slow week is 60 to 80 hours. My land, livestock, and family rely on me. That's why I bought farm insurance from Auto Owners Insurance, because every policy comes with a local agent, a real person who lives right in my community, who I can rely on to keep my farm covered no matter what.
See the Bruce Webb Insurance Agency in Farmersville or Raymond.
Extra pounds aren't healthy, so slim down for the spring by counting calories and fat grams now. Eat balanced meals in moderation with plenty of farmer-owned Prairie Farms low-fat and non-fat dairy products like non-fat cottage cheese and non-fat sour cream, as well as skim, 0.5%, and 1% milk. Plan your snacks by including farmer-owned Prairie Farms low-fat yogurt. And for extra vitamin C while losing weight, remember 100% pure farmer-owned Prairie Farms orange juice. Taste the homemade goodness of Prairie Farms. Farmer owned.
Online Bill Pay is here. Now you can pay your bills online safely, efficiently, from one location, securityNB.com. Hi, this is Dan Fleming, president of Security National Bank. SecurityNB.com provides you with the convenience of receiving, viewing, and managing your bills all from one location, securityNB.com. Security National Bank in Witt, Coffeen, Irving, and Fillmore, or online at securityNB.com. Security National Bank, your hometown bank you can trust since 1932. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Since 1899, four generations of Huffs have been dedicated to serving families in Central Illinois. Today, they continue that tradition of compassion, personal attention, and professional service that started long ago. The Huff family has always tried to place the needs of their families first, to provide them the information to make wise decisions at such a delicate time in their life. Today, Dan and David Huff continue this family tradition. Huff Funeral Homes in Raymond, Farmersville, and Hillsboro, you do have a choice.
Back to WSMI Sports Saturday. Terry Tote, Uncle Ralph.
Thank you very much, Tim Mize. And let's talk a little bit about the Litchfield Invitational Tournament. This is, I think they said, the 47th year of the Litchfield Invitational Tournament. And this tournament is absolutely loaded with great basketball teams. And I'm telling you, this is going to be a slugfest of major proportions to win this tournament. You've got Alton Marquette, the top seed, a very, very good basketball
team. Except for their first loss last week.
Yeah. Pena, a very, very good basketball team, number two. Columbia, a third seed, very good team. Roxana, you know, team that's been hugely successful, number four seed. Greenville is fifth, and we know how good the Comets are. Metro East Lutheran is sixth. Civic Memorial, seventh. Lebanon, eighth. Nokomis is ninth. Hillsboro, 10th. Litchfield, 11th. And East Alton Wood River, 12th. I mean, this tournament is absolutely loaded this year.
And you look at the first four seeds and the last four seeds. That tells you all you need to know about the depth of this Invitational.
Yeah, I'm going to say the last four teams in that tournament could jump up and bite the first four teams on any given night.
Right.
But, you know, you look at Marquette, Pena, Columbia, Roxana. What a great top four seeds in this tournament. And Litchfield, of course, is a unique tournament because they'll do pool play to start out, and then everybody goes to brackets after that. So in Pool A, you've got the 1, 8, and 9 seeds, Marquette, Lebanon, Nokomis. Pool B, the 2, 7, and 10s, Pena, Civic, Memorial, and Hillsboro. Pool C is the 3, 6, 11, Columbia, Metro East Lutheran, Litchfield, and Pool D, Roxana, Greenville, and East Alton, 4, 5, and 12. So today at 2:30, and all these games today will be at Simmons Gymnasium. That's the big gym. Roxana takes on East Alton Wood River at 2:30. Pena meets Hillsboro at 4. Columbia against Metro East Lutheran at 6. And then Marquette takes on Lebanon at 7:30. Tim?
We will be talking to TJ Wilson coming up in about 15 minutes, the North MAC head coach. He just phoned. He's refereeing a sixth grade game at the moment. It reached halftime.
Okay.
We'll be talking to TJ, the top seed in the Macoupin County tournament coming up.
Well, we're in the last break. Of course, we're talking about officials, and our buddy Lou Lang was on the phone, and he said he was headed to T-Town this morning and Carterville tonight. So
there you go. Case in point of what we were just talking about.
Have whistle, will travel. So the round robin portion of the Litchfield Invitational Tournament continues Monday night. All these games will be at Simmons as well, a Monday afternoon and evening. 2:30, East Alton Wood River against Greenville, Hillsboro against Civic Memorial at 4, and then at 6 that night, Litchfield Columbia and Lebanon Nokomis at 7:30. So,
love the mix you get in that Litchfield Invitational. You know, you get the smaller school and kind of the bigger school blended in. It really makes for an interesting field.
It does. It really does.
And then you add this to the combination of having two facilities to play in, and you know, they don't have to crowd everything into one facility.
Yeah. Well, today, and then of course Monday being Martin Luther King's birthday, no school, they're allowed to get all the games in Simmons Gymnasium. Not until Tuesday will they have to divert to Panther Gym. And unlike the past, where Thursday night has been Wednesday night had been the traditional night off at Litchfield, this year it's going to be the Thursday night being the night off. So they'll have games today, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, day off Thursday, then Friday and Saturday. So, and once again, once they get done with pool play, they go into the brackets, and that makes the Invitational just a little bit special, I think.
Yeah, it really adds a different element because you earn your way into the bracket. There's essentially three different brackets, four pools, basically three brackets. So you got to earn your way into that top bracket slot. Just because you're the three seed, there's no guarantee of anything. You still got to go through a couple of hard-fought pool play games.
But, you know, when you look at this group of teams here, it's been a long time since we've had a tournament like this with so much depth, I think, in the Litchfield tournament is just absolutely loaded this year.
And when you start getting some bigger schools into the field on a consistent basis, you never know what you're going to get. I mean, on a given year, Civic Memorial could really do some damage. Columbia, they could do some damage on a given year. We, of course, know about Alton Marquette and what they bring to the table. And, of course, teams that you're probably more familiar with, you know, the Painted Panthers out of the South Central. So that's kind of an interesting aspect. You basically get a majority of the South Central that's available in this tournament. You add some teams from really outside of the area, and it does make for an outstanding mix.
Well, from the South Central, you got the top seed, number 2 seed. You've got the number 4 seed, the number 5 seed. You've got the number 10, 11, and 12 seed. So, I mean,
there you go.
You know, and as you mentioned, if you want to look at the strength of the tournament, just look at the bottom 4 seeds. Yeah. And you got in Nokomis, Hillsborough, Litchfield, East Fountainwood River.
So. To me, that's the best way to judge a tournament field, because every tournament's going to have one or two teams at the top that have kind of separated themselves. But you want to know about the depth and the quality of a tournament, check out the lower seeds. And in the Litchfield Invitational, Nokomis, Hillsborough, Litchfield.
Yeah. 9, 10, 11.
Whoa.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm heck of a tournament.
That's right.
And when you get in these tournaments where you're playing that many games in that many days, that's when number 6, 7, 8, and 9, 10 on your team becomes very important.
And, you know, and that's, I think that's the great thing about these in-season tournaments, especially once you get past the Christmas tournaments. Christmas tournament's kind of the first, you know, marker. Then you get the in-season tournaments a couple of 3 weeks later. This is when teams start to realize, you know, we're getting close to the end of the season here, and we've got to start playing that it's, you know, survive in advance.
And this is a time of year when you want to be playing your best ball. I always remember Coach Lafka Bunker Hill. He wanted to be playing his best basketball going into and coming out of the county tournament. Because if you're playing your best ball at Christmas, that's too soon. That's too soon. You've arrived too early, and there's too much season left to really maintain. So you want to be building in the Christmas tournament, working towards about the second, third week of January, and then hit your full stride moving into the month of February.
The thing about the county tournament, and I don't know how many county tournaments there are remaining in the state of Illinois.
I tried to look it up. The Googles wouldn't tell me.
Yeah, well, I know Sangamon County is wrapping up tonight, and of course, McLean County is the oldest tournament in the state, and Macoupin County is number 2 as far as the length of number of years. So I would say the county tournaments certainly have been dwindling because of consolidations and other sort of things. And, of course, the county tournament in Macoupin has been affected by that as well. Or not necessarily consolidation a few years ago and then a cooperative effort as Northwestern now goes to Greenfield. So we lose the Northwestern aspect of things. But, you know, the schools in Macoupin County still look to the county tournament as a very big part of their schedule and a very big goal to win that thing.
No doubt about it.
Which a lot of other county schools around the surrounding counties don't have that goal because they just don't have a county tournament. So this is still pretty darn important to all these schools in Macoupin County. They look to win the county tournament.
Oh, still bragging rights in the line for the whole county.
Sure.
Like we talk about the Route 16 rivalry with Hillsborough and Litchfield, you've got a whole county that you can rule over for an entire year.
And how many counties still have 7 different schools in them?
Yeah.
You look at that, that's unusual in the state of Illinois.
And, you know, Tim, I believe last Friday night, not last night, Friday night before, you had the Hillsborough-Litchfield game, didn't you?
Yeah. That was a good one.
That was a good one, and you think back to that game, and there's some pretty good individuals on both of those teams who are rated 10th and 11th in the tournament. But
well, in my opinion, just my opinion, but Matt DeLuca and Dale Valentine or two of the better post players you're going to find around the area, certainly in the South Central Conference. They're just both outstanding with their skill sets. They can handle you inside, of course, with their size and their build, but they've also got the ability to handle the ball, bringing it up the floor. They can both knock down three-pointers, so they really have nice, well-rounded games, and it's fun to watch them go back and forth. And I believe they play the return match coming up into January, I believe. I'm sure we'll have it here on FM 106.
31st.
And what's amazing about those two individuals, Tim, is you watch them play in a game at the same time, how they compare.
Very similar.
Their styles are just almost identical.
Well, and when you take a look at the skill level that they had last year and where they are this year, it's night and day.
Oh, yeah,
I mean, they've stepped up a huge step this year. They're both really fun to watch.
They're both leaders of their team.
And we don't see the big post guys around here anymore.
No.
It's very unusual.
And they're both, I think Vontae might technically be an inch taller, but those are the program listings. All I know about program listings is they shrunk me from my junior year to my senior year. So I don't really trust them too much, if you know what I'm saying. I tried to get it changed, and they said no. I said, I know how tall I am, but that's neither here nor there.
Was that because there were students putting the program together, Tim, or what was the deal?
Yeah, okay. Pretty much.
You made somebody mad.
Old desktop publishing.
Oh, okay.
If I only made one person mad when I was in high school, that's pretty good. But anyway, DeLuca and Valentine, both about 6'4", and with the wide bodies, you know, they're not poles, so to speak. They've got that girth on the inside, muscular builds to where they can, you know, seal off in the post and have the strength to finish with contact. So yeah, they're very fun to watch.
And we've lost the post game, especially in the advent of the 3-point arc, where so much of the game is guard oriented, which it has always been guard oriented. You've got to have the guards, but now the guards are expected to score so much more. And these guys can step out and not only shoot the three, but they can also post up, which you just don't see a whole lot of.
Yeah, anymore. I mean that's a nightmare for a defense when you got a guy who can score on the block at will, take you out 20 feet from the hoop and hurt you.
Well, you know, you got to double down on these guys and sometimes triple down on these guys, and somebody's going to be open. So it just makes for a fun time. So, yeah, that Litchfield tournament's loaded. And of course, the county tournament in Macoupin County gets underway today as well, and a lot of pride at stake on that one. Other tournaments, I like to mention the girls' tournament at Highland, which I call the miniature state tournament. When you look at girls' tournaments throughout the year, certainly the Bloomington Christmas tournament has to be one you look at, but the Highland girls' tournament, just about 2 or 3 weeks before the regionals, you've got Edwardsville, the top seed, and Nokomis is going to play them here in about 30 minutes.
Oh.
But you know, these schools from our immediate listening area who go and compete there, go there with a purpose because they want to play the best competition and they want to get better, and that only strengthens them on down the road.
And think what you just said. Nokomis getting ready to play Edwardsville.
Yeah.
Well, you know, they're top ranked, you know, right up there in the
third,
4A
third state, I think.
State rankings. Yeah. You know, 4A.
How about that?
How about that?
Maybe ninth in the rankings.
And I don't know.
I'm not sure where they're ranked, but I know they are ranked.
Yeah, they're in the top 10, and I'm not sure what Hillsborough's opponent. Now, a year ago, Salem was very good, but I don't know what.
Well, I think Salem's the number 4 seed this year, I think.
And you mentioned it, Terry, just a couple weeks out from regional. So, to me, that really adds something to this Highland tournament because – you can see postseason play right around the corner.
Well, look at this. You know, Edwardsville, Nokomis at 10. Cowden Herrick, another highly ranked team in the state, taking on Highland, which has had a very good girls program for the last 2 or 3 years. You know, one of those teams are going to lose and end up in the consolation bracket, for God's sakes. That's an 11:30 game. Hillsborough versus Salem at 1. Breeze Central and Olney. You are kidding me? These two are meeting in the first round? How can that be? Central and Olney at 2:30, Nashville and Oakville at 4, Altoff and Carlisle at 5:30, T-Town, Belleville West at 7, and Modern Day Vandalia at 8:30.
Yep, that'll work.
Oh, yeah.
That'll work.
A huge, big tournament. Great tournament.
You know, Terry, you and I have had the opportunity to, back a few years, to do a couple ball games down there, and when you walk into that gym, you're right. The atmosphere is like you were at Bloomington
State
tournament.
Oh, it's packed. You know, and it's girls basketball, which traditionally doesn't draw well. But on championship day, that place is packed, and that place is electric. So
and what a great facility!
Oh yeah, great facility, great sight lines. Chris Goggins, who is the head coach of the Mount Olive Wildcats, is joining us on the telephone. And Chris, good morning. Thanks for calling us on Sports Saturday this morning. And a big day for Mount Olive, actually a big week for Mount Olive High School as the high school gets to host the annual Macoupin County Basketball Tournament. So are you jacked for today, man?
Yes, I am. We're going to have a bunch of teams in there, and it's going to be exciting.
Well, first off, let's talk a little bit about the Wildcats program. The Wildcats, not too bad this year. They've made some strides, haven't they?
Yeah, they came a bit, but we still got some work to do, and hopefully we get 3 wins this tournament and play the championship game on Saturday. It's the main goal right now.
Well, memory serves me right. The last time Mount Olive hosted the county tournament, Mount Olive won the tournament.
Well, it's plan to repeat that.
I think it was Brandon Faber that hit a layup at the buzzer for the Wildcats to win it that night. So,
Chris, how would you assess your first season as a head coach thus far?
I think it's been pretty good. I've had Coach Garrels, my assistant, has been awesome for me, and we've done a lot of good things with the kids, and I think they're starting to really understand what I'm trying to get through to them, and I'm pleased with some of the things we've done, and I know they've got some more improving to do, and I think they understand that, and they're working hard to get to where they need to be.
And of course, when a new coach comes in, Chris, you even if you stay with most of the concepts of the previous coach, you still have a little tweaking to do. Has everybody bought into that tweaking at this point?
Yeah, they've bought in, and I have a few leaders on the team that really push the others and try to get them all on the same page at times. And I think that's one thing that's kind of difficult at times is to get everybody on that same page where, you know, everything's running smoothly. But, you know, there's at times where, you know, you have these brain farts sometimes and they forget kind of what they're supposed to do. And it's, you know, it is what it is at sometimes. So,
and unfortunately, those things happen to adults as well.
Yes. I've had many a brain fart.
Well, Chris, Coach, tell us a little bit about some of your personnel. Mention a few of the names there for us, if you would.
My starting five or starting six usually is Matt Mueller, who is our only senior and a pretty good athlete, and kind of move him around kind of anywhere on the court and try to utilize him. Then we have Zach Mathis, who's a junior, very strong kid, not very big, but pretty good at hustling and can handle the ball. And we've got Jake Niehaus, who is a sophomore, kind of helps Mueller with point, and they flip-flop there a little bit. Zach Trevin, who kind of our wing, another hustler for us, and kind of knocks down some shots when we need him. Austin Buig, him and Trevin kind of have the same roles there. Zach Murphy, who is also another junior, we kind of put him in the post sometimes and outside on the wings and perimeter. So we got also Dakota and Jared Barman, who come in and play bigs for us. And I've tried a lot of different players in different positions, trying to see what works. We've also have a few guys that are injured that, you know, it's, you know, tough when you got, you know, a few guys injured early on. We've got Ellington, who started off the year very, very strong for us, and then he's been out for a couple months now with a broken hand, so hopefully we get him back before playoffs. But that's kind of our main group right there, and always looking to see who's going to step up and fill another spot for us.
Well, Coach, when you go to planning a tournament like this and sitting here looking at your schedule and opening up today with six games, that's a mouthful right there.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's going to be extremely busy. And RAD, Terry Marietta, has been doing a very good job with this. I know Mount Olive High School is not the biggest school out there, but we're going to accommodate all these teams as best as we can. I think they're going to do a great job with it.
Talking with Chris Scoggins, the head coach of the Mount Olive Wildcats, as the Cats will be hosting the Macoupin County Basketball Tournament beginning today. Chris, you mentioned Matt Mueller, really your only senior. It's nice to have one senior, but when that one senior is such a dynamic player like Matt Mueller, that kind of makes for an interesting dynamic, I guess. You're going to lose him at the end of the year, but he's probably teaching these younger kids along the way.
Oh, he definitely is, and that's something I'm trying to tell all of our upperclassmen, with our juniors and seniors, as you know, you got to really teach these younger kids, the freshmen and sophomores, and when they come up to dress varsity or even at practice, you know the game a little bit more than them. Obviously, teach them a little bit every now and then. You know, I'm at practice, I get around most all the guys and try to teach my concepts and different skills they need to improve on. But these other guys, if they get a chance when you know they're just shooting around before practice, you know, work on one-on-one and make the program better that way as well.
And to have the senior leadership, sometimes just the ability to remain calm and under control and maybe slow the game down a little bit is something that, you know, younger players need to pick up on.
Definitely. And I think you see that a lot in high school, especially with, you know, a new coach or a new system coming in. It's not going to be very easy to just step in and know everything that the coach is wanting, and you have what I call these panic modes, and you don't want, you know, your teammates to freak out and just take a bad shot, and we call them just bailout shots because you're not sure what to do, so you basically just waste a possession. And it's hard to get the team, like I said, on the same page so you can run what you want to run and have your defense set the way you want it to set.
And, Chris, so much of basketball anymore is a possession game. So every possession, it doesn't make any difference whether it's the first quarter or the fourth quarter. Every possession is a huge possession.
Yeah, it really is. And I think it's hard to have some of the players understand that. You really don't start focusing on those possessions as these younger kids until it's, you know, 2 minutes left and you're down by 2 buckets or up by 2 buckets. Then you understand each possession is very important. But that goes from the first 2 minutes of the game as well as the last 2 minutes. It's all a build up to, obviously, until the final buzzer.
Yeah, people maybe will remember the missed free throw with 3 seconds left, but kind of forget the one, you know, in the first quarter.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Chris Goggins, thank you so much, my friend, and good luck this week at Mont Olive with the annual Macoupin County Basketball Tournament, the second oldest county tournament in the state of Illinois. And, of course, the tournament starts today, wraps up next Saturday, and there'll be games each and every night. Chris, thanks for joining us this morning on Sports Saturday.
All right, thank you very much.
All right. Games start at noon today and start at noon again next Saturday, and then every night there'll be games ongoing at the Macoupin County Tournament.
And the host team is always dangerous.
Always dangerous, and I should have done some research in the past to find out how the host school benefits from hosting the tournament. They always seem to.
Well,
I'm not always saying it leads to a championship, but there are oftentimes certain games that you would think, this is a mismatch, but it doesn't turn out that way.
Very true. But that could be a bit of a misleading stat from the standpoint Carlinville has had the tournament so many years when other schools would be hosting. And me personally, it's nice when it moves around the county. Mm-hmm. It gives it that different feel when you go into the different gymnasiums, but I personally like it when it is at Carlinville and the other schools. So I understand that the other schools want to host it in their building. Absolutely.
Yeah.
But from a personal standpoint, Carlinville has such a nice facility in the middle of the county. Parking's not a problem. Big facility. It's always nice when Carlinville hosts it. But that does take away from the home court advantage for the host school.
But in Macoupin County, so many of these schools play on that Carlinville court for so many times,
true.
Whether it's a holiday tournament or just conference games. It's kind of a home away from home for some schools.
It is.
I mean, you remember when you were in school, Tim, you probably played as many games at Carlinville as you did at home.
Oh, we absolutely did, because when I was in school, Carlinville was hosting it every year. So between the holiday tournament, the county tournament, and then we played Carlinville in the regular season, we did play more games at Carlinville than we did actually at Lafka Hall. But it is an interesting dynamic when you talk about this county tournament, just from the standpoint, if it's at Gillespie, going to the pit, going to Mont Olive, you get that tight atmosphere. When Southwestern hosts it, always good there as well. So there's a lot of neat basketball venues in the county. So when it rotates around and you get to go to all those different sites, that really is neat.
And one thing about some of the smaller venues, it gets really noisy. You're tight quarters, and it gets really noisy. It's kind of a different atmosphere than if you are used to playing in a bigger gymnasium, because you've got people right on top of the court. It's just a little bit different venue.
And like Staunton, for example, you can't hear yourself think pregame in that place, but it's great.
Oh, yeah.
It's excellent.
Yeah. 50 people sounds like 500 or 1,000 people in Staunton, because the acoustics down there are just set up that way, you know, and it's a great atmosphere. I always kid about Staunton. When the band's playing in a pregame show, you can feel your internal organs vibrate. I mean,
that's
I love it. That's a great atmosphere.
Yeah.
And when it's loud and noisy and you got people right on top of the court, it's kind of a throwback to Hoosiers.
Yeah, that's right.
It really is.
Right.
And we relate, and I think a lot of people, and maybe it's more generational, Ralph, maybe you and I, not so much Tim, but we think back, we hearken back to the days of packed gymnasiums and people on the ends of the court standing three or five deep.
Standing room only.
Yeah, standing room only in these packed houses and these rivalries that just, you know, mean so much to people, and we just don't see it a lot anymore.
And I like to think, and you guys see a lot more gyms than I do, but I like to think, guys, that high school basketball is perhaps returning to this a little bit. I see, like at Hillsboro,
crowds are up this year.
Yeah,
crowds are up. Hillsboro boys crowds, it's no secret the last few years have been down But they're drawing some good crowds, and of course the girls there at Hillsborough, Litchfield, Painter, wherever you go, they've been drawing crowds.
For the most part, yeah. I haven't been disappointed with the crowds at all.
No,
it's really tough when you have a tournament game early in the day.
Mm-hmm.
It really is,
well,
especially
yeah.
on a work day for parents and such to get to these games. I realize that, and notwithstanding, the crowds at most of these games have been pretty decent.
Weeknight games have been well attended.
Oh, yeah.
You know, the Monday night, Tuesday night games in the regular season have seen bigger crowds than I remember the last couple of years.
You know, the Friday night games, Saturday games, usually no problem. But those early week games, you know, you got crowds, you got noise, you got bands, you got, you know, the whole 9 yards, and, you know, you get, instead of having 50 people in the stands, you got 500.
Yep.
And some of this has been brought on by, in our own conference here, the South Central Conference, guys, it's been brought on by parity among the ball clubs. On any given night, you know, you're going to see a good ball game.
Yeah. I think we're in for some fun tournament participation this week. Tell you what, we need to take a break. Sports Saturday will roll on in just a moment. We hope to be catching up to Lincolnwood softball coach Greg Neisler. You're saying softball? Well, there's something special being planned for a little bit later on this spring. We'll talk to Coach Neisler right after this.
Do you have something to buy?
Yes.
Sell?
Yes.
Trade?
I love the trade.
Then the WSMI Trading Post is for you.
Really?
I just wanted to call you and thank you for selling my futon.
Trading Post success story. There you go.
Beautiful.
Good morning, Scott and friend. Hey, I have...
Superstar.
Hollywood over here? Hey, Hollywood.
Leave me alone. I'll be in my dressing room.
Hear the Post weekday mornings at 9:45 on WSMI AM 1540.
Just being out in the woods.
I like to camp.
Hiking, fishing.
I love the trees in our backyard.
But there's this bug. It's killing the trees.
The emerald ash borer beetle. It lives in firewood.
You move firewood, you spread the beetle.
And our state is on the front lines.
I promise not to move firewood.
I promise to burn it where I buy it.
I promise.
Will you?
Learn more and promise you won't move firewood at stopthebeetle.info. A message from the USDA.
Time for check of WSMI radar weather, brought to you by CarQuest in Carlinville and Jacksonville. You'll find it at CarQuest. Still some light snow flurries around most of the listening area. High temps this afternoon will be in the low 30s. Partly cloudy tonight. Overnight temps in the lower 20s. Sunshine for tomorrow. High temperature readings in the low 40s. Tomorrow night, we're going to see overnight lows in the mid 30s. By Monday, we're seeing a chance of rain. Right now, 23 degrees, an east wind of 6, and this check of radar weather brought to you by CarQuest in Carthenville and Jacksonville. You'll find it at CarQuest. Back we go to WSMI Sports Saturday. Tito and Uncle Ralph.
Thank you very much, Tim Mize. And the last two county championships have been coached by T.J. Wilson. He won last year as the head coach of North Mac, the year before as the head coach of Girard, and T.J. joins us this morning. T.J., good morning, sir.
Thank you. Good morning to you.
And here we go again, my friend. It's the county basketball tournament. What sort of mindset do you get into in trying to get your kids prepared for the county tournament?
Well, we've been so bad offensively the last couple games that we've been working a lot on that. We're just not shooting the ball very well right now. So it was more trying to get my team ready than, to be honest with you, than worrying about who we were playing. Not that I'm no disrespect to Bunker Hill, but we just had some things we had to fix.
And, TJ, you know, especially, you know, modern basketball, you hear so much about defense, 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 and you got to play defense, but basketball is still a bottom line. You got to put the ball in the hole.
Yeah, early in the year, I mean, it's 80-20. We're working on defense, 20% offense, and it's actually in the beginning of the year, we weren't playing too bad offensively, but we've played some better teams lately, and they've, you know, exposed some of our weaknesses, and we're just not shooting the ball very well. That we got to take better shots, and we got to do some things defensively to create offense for us, and that's what we've been working on the last couple of days in practice.
And offensively, a lot of times it boils down to not being patient on offense and looking for that good shot.
Yeah, I mean, that was part of it. We played Riverton. We were down 6 at halftime. In the first half, we shot 6 for 26, 2 for 14 in the paint. So we had some shots against Riverton. We just didn't make them.
And, TJ, since you've been the head coach, whether it was at Girard or now at North Mac, you've played people. You don't shy away from competition in the regular season.
No, we try to, you know, make our schedule as good as it can be, and it'll definitely be tougher next year when we go to a new conference.
And you know what's interesting, Coach, you talked about making 2 out of 14 and stuff, and that's what drives a coach crazy is when that ball decides that it's not going to go through that hole, and you just can't get that to work for 2 or 3 games, and then it comes back. And I think like last week when Illinois was playing Ohio State, and the young man for Illinois pumped in 43 points, and it was one of them nights where he could have threw it up from the bleachers and it would have went in, and that's what really drives you crazy, how that will work one night, and the next night, nope, it's not there.
Yeah, definitely. We just, like he said, Tim said, or she said, we got to be more patient, and everything works better when you put the ball in the basket. You know, your feet move faster, you rebound better, you pass the ball better. It's just everything's better when a ball goes in the basket.
And TJ, the last few years, of course, you had that, the coach's best friend, I guess, the reliable postman who you knew, if we dump it in the hole, he's going to put it home. And sometimes maybe a bit of an adjustment the first year after you lose a post threat like that?
Oh, yes, definitely, because I was very spoiled for, I've been spoiled for a long time. I've had a lot of good post players here at Girard, and we do a lot, our offense revolved around, started with Stephen Horrigs and Justin Claus and those guys, and went to Dylan and to Hunter, and, you get in trouble, you can always throw it to them, and it's usually 2 points or 2 free throws, and Patrick Grayson's getting better. We did have to change our offense a little bit this year, to do some more things for our guards, and but Patrick's coming along here. He's just been, he was battling the flu for, about a week, and he's finally getting healthy now, so he had a good game against Franklin, and he was still sick, so we're still trying to get the ball to the post, but it's a little more guard-oriented now.
And TJ, the other opposing coaches, after playing you a few years, they know what to expect from your ball club. And so you've got to stay ahead of the game. You've got to do the little minor tweaks here and there to make sure that your guys stay ahead of the game.
Yes, that was, what we did beginning of the year. Like I said, we had some more of our sets went toward the guards. But our mainstay still is play good defense, rebound the ball, and that's where it starts for us.
And TJ, you mentioned you got Bunker Hill coming up, your first game in the county. Speaking of post players, they got a guy in the post, Alan Mantrell. He can put the ball in the hole.
Yes, he can. He hurt us last year when we played him down at their place after the county. He went like 15 or 16 or something against us, and got Hunter in foul trouble. And he's a good player. We just hope that we can get pressure on their guards and make it tough to get it to him.
And, Coach, you talk about the little things and talk about one of your players having a flu. I always said the flu was a 3-week deal. You have it for a week, and then you take 2 weeks to get over it.
Yeah. He's been battling it for about 2 weeks. So, and we had some other kids that had it during for the Waverly tournament. We had a couple kids sick with the flu, so it's definitely kind of going around the school.
Yeah. And that's always a great thing, right? One kid gets it. The rest of them are going to get it at some point.
Yeah, they will. It usually goes through a cycle, the whole team.
What about height on your ball club this year? You've always had height in the past. What do you got this year?
Like I said, Patrick Grayson's about 6'3", and Clay Hickey's also about 6'3", so those are our two tallest players. But, Patrick's been in foul trouble, and there's been times this year when we played with 5 guards, so it's going to be a little bit different look this year than it has been in the past. But I still have a lot of confidence in Patrick, and we get him the ball in the right spot, he's going to put it in.
TJ Wilson, you've won the last 2 county championships. You will begin the quest for number 3 today at the Macoupin County Basketball Tournament. We thank you for a few minutes of your time, and good luck moving forward.
All right, thanks, Greg.
TJ Wilson, the head coach of the North Mac Panthers. He's a basketball coach.
I tell you what, you talk to TJ on game night, and he's not the conversationalist because he's so focused in on the basketball game. He really, really is, and it's fun to watch his teams play. They're so, they're disciplined. Generally, they know what they want to do. His style of play, it's fun to watch him.
His teams play with the edge that he carries.
Yes,
and that's what you want.
A little chip on the shoulder,
Absolutely.
You got to have a little chip on the shoulder now and then. And so North Mac, the top seed in the boys, opens up against Bunker Hill tonight. North Mac will play again. They've got where are we here? They play again on Friday night against Carlinville before heading into play next weekend. So North Mac boys and girls, both the top seeds in the Macoupin County tournament this week. So They have a reputation to live up to here.
So. Yep.
And last year, North Mac won the championship game over Staunton in the boys' tournament. And in the girls' tournament, Staunton beat North Mac for the championship last year. We're talking high school basketball here on this Saturday morning, but we're going to change directions here a little bit as we talk about softball. And Lincolnwood coach Greg Neisler joining us. And Greg, good morning, sir.
Good morning, Terry. How are you?
Well, it's good to talk about softball and something that kind of makes us think of warm weather, especially this time of year.
Well, we've had some warm weather, and we thought maybe we needed to be out doing a little something, but IHSA kind of frown on that if we did that. But now all of a sudden, the way it looks out today with the snow, I don't think we'd want to be out there.
I heard more than one baseball and softball coach a week or so ago say, gosh, we're going to be hoping for this weather in April, you know?
Oh, yeah, we really are, and it's just that way every year. It's just so much added stress to softball, baseball outside, and whether we're going to get the games in, and it's just another element that's on your plate that's always in the back of your mind.
And Greg, before we talk about the special thing we got going here in just a little bit, let's talk a little bit about the transition from winter sports, you know, basketball primarily around here, to getting ready for baseball and softball in the spring. It takes a while to get those muscles acclimated to doing the things you need to do.
Well, and it's real hard with the smaller size schools as well. Whenever you really encourage all your athletes to, you know, be multidimensional. You know, I'm really a firm believer that playing a lot of different sports instead of focusing on one is very beneficial. You know, whether it be from how to handle success or handle, you know,
sure,
disappointment and that kind of thing. So whenever you're in a small school, the first thing you overcome going from sport to sport is, you know, they're playing sports now. And so not to step on toes of the in-season sport, it's tough. And then all of a sudden, you know, you go from a hard gym floor or, you know, concrete floor to you're out where it's a little softer, but then you have to practice, you know, on different surfaces you know, like you said, the different muscle groups that you use, sore arms are always an issue whenever it comes to springtime.
And you know, some of the days you play softball, it's just brutal. I mean, the wind's blowing. It's, you know, it's 45 degrees. The wind chills down in the 30s. You know, it's just brutal.
These freshmen come in, and we just had a sign up for ordering apparel to wear, and of course they're used to playing in junior high ball, and it's just you know, just super hot in August and first part of September, and they start practicing actually at the end of July, and so they're not used to playing in this weather. And we tell them, you know, you're going to have a winter coat, and they kind of look at you with deer in the headlight look, like, what are you talking about? And you'll find out. The upperclassmen are just there smiling because they know what it's like.
Well, Greg, you've got in plan a special day coming up. Now, Lincolnwood High School is celebrating its 50th year of existence, and you're kind of taking that into the softball realm. So tell us what you've got planned.
Well, we're super excited. This is something that I'd had in the back of my mind for a long time. And we, you know, of who to recognize and who to start with. This year, then, it came up as our 50th year, and there were plans made for the 50th year of Lincolnwood as a school, and thought this might be the time to put something together for softball. Right now, it just has been approved just this past week, so we're still in the, you know, the infancy stages here. But what we're planning is we're wanting to invite back anyone that has played Lincolnwood softball, any players, invite them back. And then we're going to recognize everyone that completed their senior year. One thing I think that all four coaches in the program have always probably tried to do, best I can tell whenever I'm doing my research and talking with them and so forth, is really emphasize commitment. So we're going to, those ones that completed their senior year, we're going to recognize them on April 7th. It's going to be a Saturday. We will be playing Carlinville, and we're going to recognize all of them after the Carlinville game out at Kiwanis Field here in Raymond. That's been our home now for about probably 10 years. here in Raymond and our home field now. So we're excited about that. We're wanting to have everyone come back to bring their families. We're going to try to have a memorabilia table out. We'll have some good old concession stand food there, but then we're going to have a reception for them afterwards. And then we're going to introduce everyone that completed their senior year and announce them and have photo sessions and that kind of thing. So we're looking for a big day. Then we're going to finish it off with a safe type of scrimmage type game. I don't know how that's going to work exactly yet. We want to make sure that everyone is safe. That's number one. But we'd like for the gals to get out and be able to try to show off their skills to their family or whatever. So we're looking forward to planning a big event.
Greg, we got about 30 seconds here. Do they need to call ahead and reserve, or can they just show up, or do they need to check the website? What?
Yes, if you starting next week, we're hoping to have on the school panhandle website, hoping to have a link to where you can click on and email myself, and my name will be on there to email. Right now we have LincolnwoodSoftball@yahoo.com, that if they could email to us, that would be wonderful. Some former players that I contacted are going to put it on Facebook, so we're going to be trying to contact everybody in a number of ways. And but if you don't get us contacted, we'll still want you there. That we want to make sure we touch base with everyone.
Greg, we're out of time. Thanks for joining us this morning on Sports Saturday, and take care, my friend.
Well, thanks for your publicity.
WSMI-FM, Litchfield Hills, Carlinville, and Greenville.